5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday, which means that tomorrow is... No, wrong. Tomorrow is Friday Eve. We do not use the you know, that... Well, because Friday Eve just sounds like the weekend is that much closer, which I think is kind of cool. Our pal Mike Dickinson is going to be along at 5:33. Talk a little bit about some of his citizen reporting. There's a lot of important stuff going on. I'm just telling you right now. A lot of good stuff going on. Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, my son is a school teacher, and he's a Democrat, but he has had to finally admit he and his wife will not be able to afford a house for many years. Home ownership is not even in their five-plus year plan. It's crazy, isn't it? I'll tell you what, 804, my oldest boy is, he's freaking crazy is what he is. Big-time left-wing wackadoodle. He's employed in the left-wing wackadoodle world, but he's out in California. His rent for a one-bedroom apartment is the same as my mortgage for my home. And there's not a chance on God's green earth that he will be in any position to purchase a home of any sort, perhaps any time. Now, my youngest guy, who, well, I mean, he's 19. And politically, he's, I would say he's on the wrong side of things. But he doesn't like to talk about politics, which is great. And his gal pal, I'm pretty sure she's on the left as well, but we've never spoken about politics, and I'm okay with that. But I do sometimes overhear, because let's face it, eavesdrop is such an ugly and legally pernicious term, but I do overhear some of the kids, as I like to call them, speaking. They don't even have a vision of owning a home. Now, you remember Klaus Schwab, right? World Economic Forum over in Davos. Remember what he said? You won't own anything, and you'll be happy about it. Now, for you, for me, that's outrageous, right? I want to own my home. I don't want BlackRock owning my home. I don't want the Magnificent Seven owning my home. I want to own my home. I want to own my car. And by the way, I want to fill my car with gasoline. Just thought I'd mention that for the hell of it. But my kids, my boys, you know, Julia doesn't have an opinion on this, obviously. But my boys, they seem perfectly poised to accept this idea that they're not going to own anything. So, I don't know, maybe that really is the case for them. Maybe they just think that's the way it ought to be. But I do look at other people, like friends of ours who have children about the same age. I'll tell you what, I don't think for a second my social media director, PJ Morrissey, is of the opinion that he's never going to own anything. I've got a sneaking suspicion that PJ will probably own any damn thing he wants. I look at a dear friend of mine, Adam Lee. You know Adam, right? He used to be the special agent in charge of the FBI's Richmond field office. Big dude over at Dominion now. I don't know exactly what his title is, but it takes three business cards for it. I mean, it's pretty impressive. His kids? They're amazing kids. I don't think any of the three are of the opinion that they will not own anything. Heck, I look at my friend Finn Lee, who just graduated from Hampton, Sydney. Super dude. He's working now with the RNC's election security project, all of that good stuff. I mean, we gave all the kudos, of course, to Governor Youngkin, but make no mistake, Finn had a big hand in making sure that all came to fruition. So I look at those folks, and I'm thinking, they're going to own stuff. They're not going to go along with this World Economic Forum Davos crap. They're damn right they're going to own stuff. But what if they're in their mindset, and my kids, who I don't know, I thought I raised them right. Obviously, I failed miserably. But you know, what if my boys are like, well, I don't need to own anything. I just don't get it. And maybe that comes with age. I mentioned earlier that I'm approaching one of those birthdays. One of those seminal birthdays where you just look at it and go, wow. So I already knew I'm not in middle age, because middle age, it means you're going to live the same amount of time on the opposite side. I'm far past that. You know, my use-by date is rapidly approaching. So I'm not under any illusions or delusions about that. But I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, man, what else should I be doing? What should I really do? And I came home from a concert the other night. I don't know if you know Robert Earl Keen. The Road Goes On Forever and The Party Never Ends is, I think, one of his biggest, most accepted tunes. You know, you would know that. If you went to Spotify or something, you would find that. Gringo Honeymoon, Corpus Christi Bay. I don't know. There's a bunch of songs. But anyway, so I went to see him. He was at the National. Heidi and I went. And I don't usually get merchandise because, as you know, I'm in this phase where I'm trying to get rid of stuff as opposed to accumulate more stuff. But they had a really cool baseball cap, and I bought it. And I did. I bought it, which means I own it. Explain that to Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum. I used money that I made plying a craft, a trade, and I bought it. And it says right on the front, The Road Goes On Forever. So when I came home from that concert, I went to my closet. I took my baseball cap off. Well, actually, no, let me phrase that. I took my boots off first. Took the boots off and then tossed my baseball cap. And I just assumed I was going to hit the floor because I look at the floor as, you know, it's a closet without hangers as far as I'm concerned. A good place to store things. But when I tossed that baseball cap that said the road never ends, it landed perfectly on my carry-on. I always have my carry-on ready. I'm ready to go. So, and it landed in such a way. I put a photo up. If you're not with me on Facebook, do yourself a favor. Go to Facebook. I know it's on the Radio Cats page for sure. I think it's on the Jeff Katz Show page as well. But if you'll look for Radio Cats, RadioKatz, Radio Cats on Facebook, you'll find me. And you'll find that photo. And I just looked at that, and immediately all of these memories came rushing back of time spent on the road and adventures and, you know, working on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, which is a carnival, is what it is. Big time, or was a big time carnival. Thinking, man, missed that. Anyway, just popping up on my phone, for some reason I don't know, is a message from LinkedIn that says, I am a top applicant for 36 jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, that's great. I haven't applied for any jobs, and I haven't asked you to tell me about, but anyway. AI, once again, right? Maybe AI is trying to tell me something. Good Lord, I don't know. Should the people watching Stephen Colbert be laughing at certain things? Well, for the most part, no, because Stephen Colbert is a lot of things. Funny is not one of them, but he's got this TV show, and he had some hack from CNN on. I just want to take a listen to this. Cut number one.
He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
That's supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is. What I wanted to ask is that, but you guys still have your own feelings, your own bets about what's going to happen on a daily basis.
Germ, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Because that's all I need. The phoniness of CNN is apparent even to the Stephen Colbert audience. The crass partisan garbage that comes from CNN is readily apparent even to the assembled leftists who are going to a taping of the Stephen Colbert show. I ask you, Your Honor, do you need any more evidence? Ha! I think not. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Thanks again to Kash Patel. Kash is a senior advisor to President Trump. He's also a graduate of University of Richmond. So we were very, very happy to have him on. If you missed that, you should head on over to newsradiowrba.com. You can listen right there. We'll have the whole thing up. Germ, we still have that Bob Good chat, do we not? The soon-to-be former member of Congress, Bob Good. I think we still have it up there. It has been now for, what is it, a month? The highest number of downloads of anything ever in the history of downloads on WRVA. So that's pretty cool. Conversation with soon-to-be former Congressman Bob Good. And there were a lot of people who said there was that conversation that convinced them they should vote for State Senator John McGuire, who, as you know, was the ultimate winner. Yeah. Broke the record within 72 hours. Fantastic. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm very, very proud of that. People listened to that, and they heard Bob Good being so just creepy, nasty and creepy. And they said, yeah, we're done. We're not going to vote for him. So that, it wasn't me. He came on and decided to do what he did. But what can I tell you? I have no doubt, by the way, that Bob Good is, as we speak, cleaning out his office, which is a good idea. But I guarantee he's going to run against John McGuire in 2 years. Guaranteed. Guaranteed that he will be launching his campaign against John McGuire if he hasn't launched it already. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. I hope that at that point, 2 years into this, we will have had President Trump back in the White House where he belongs. We'd have Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, and we'd be doing good things and actually maybe making some steps on combating the Kamalanomics, the inflation that's killing us all. Let me give you a cut here, cut number three. This is a mom in Philadelphia who, well, at least according to traditional sources, should be a rock-solid Democrat. That's what the phrasing around this said. But to take a listen, cut number three.
How hard has inflation hit you?
It hit me hard. It's hitting me hard.
What do you blame for it?
I blame the federal government at this point. If a working-class mom who works as a paralegal cannot buy a $2 bell pepper because it's now $5... Imagine a mother living on food stamps. Imagine a mother who's making minimum wage trying to feed children. They're killing us without killing us. If you understand that. They're killing us without telling us they're killing us. They're hurting people in ways that they can't help themselves. It's either feed my child or how about feed my children and I don't. But I have to go work.
It's absolutely true. It is absolutely, completely, and totally true. It is an awful situation. And if you don't think that President Trump is the solution to that, then I think you better go back and reevaluate every single solitary thing you think you know. You remember how it was when Donald Trump was in the White House? I do. You know how it is now, obviously. Go to the gas pump. I told you what I do. My official gas price is the Wawa at the corner of Routes 1 and 54. Now, I don't always buy my gas there, but that's the one that I use as my comparison point. I wrote down what the gas price was when we moved here 4+ years ago, and I check it every time I go into town, and it is double. And that is the result of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. It's just the way it is. How you vote is your choice. Tell you that right now. But the things that go into that decision, boy, I'm going to do everything I can to let you know the truth, let you know what's really going on, let you know why it's going on. And then, well, we'll see which way it goes, right? I mean, that is really where we are. I'm going to say it again. If my friend John Reed officially makes it official and says, yes, he is running for lieutenant governor, and I hope he will do that because I want very much to say out loud, I fully support and endorse John Reed for lieutenant governor. I will very happily make a financial contribution to his campaign. Absolutely. Mike Dickinson joins us at 5:33. It's 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yeah, no. Oh. I'm sorry, I just got lost for a second there. But it is. It is Wednesday. We're like halfway through the week. I know. For me, it's even easier because I wasn't here yesterday. I had a pretty good meeting with Carl Carlson over at Carlson Financial. Look, people sometimes are surprised when they find out the people that I talk about on the air I'm actually involved in. I don't know how you can be in this line of work and then just like lie to people about stuff like that. No, Carl is our financial guy. So 2-hour long meeting and lots of numbers, but things in the right direction. And I told you, I didn't know this. Apparently, I own Tesla stock. Huh? Who knew? I mean, I can't afford a Tesla, but I own stock in the company. And so people who can't afford Teslas, thank you. Appreciate it. Buy two. If you're out, get one in black and get one in white or get one for each day. I don't care. But buy more of them and help me with my ultimate financial freedom. Our pal Mike Dickinson joins us every Wednesday afternoon at 5:33. We talk about some of his citizen reporting, which is amazing. Really doing a great job with these Virginia topics, Richmond topics, Central Virginia topics, and so much of what Michael has exposed has really been picked up now by some of the national outlets, including this whole thing about Act Blue. Mike, thanks for being here, buddy.
Anytime for you, Jeff. Anytime.
Well, that is very, very kind. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with Act Blue, because you broke that story right here, all locally, about people in Richmond making, it seemed like, outrageous donations to Democrats, and now this thing is all over the country. It's taken off.
Yes, it has been. The back of the story is Act Blue is a major online platform that the Democrats have used to solicit donations and process credit cards and process debit cards. And the story broke probably about a month or so ago here in Richmond, where there was a 79-year-old woman who had made a few donations under $1,000 to Republicans from 2017 to 2020, and then from 2020 to now over $833,000 worth of donations to Democrats.
Wow. So wait a minute, Mike, because you mentioned a really big number. How much?
Over $833,000. So over $800,000 of donations to Democrats.
Oh my gosh! All right, so
crazy.
Do we get any sense that she is fabulously wealthy and all of a sudden a leftist?
No, she lives in a very modest home somewhere in Richmond City. We found the address. I'm not going to put it out there, obviously.
Right.
But very, very modest living. And it doesn't appear that this person would have that source of income or that kind of money to make these donations. That was the first red flag.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like the more we dug into some of the people who have been donating to Democrats and tracking down the sources of their donations to Act Blue, that this has come up time and time again. We found a bunch of these incidents in Michigan. Of course, they're not going to investigate it in Michigan because that's ran by the Democrats, so they're not going to hurt themselves. But the Attorney General of Missouri is on board. He's investigating. Our Attorney General in Virginia is investigating. And so now it's just a process to see what's going to happen. But Act Blue has remained defiant, saying that they've done nothing wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But they've removed all of the checks on their website to make donations where you don't have to put in an address that matches the credit card you're using. You don't have to provide the 3-digit security code on the credit card that goes with the credit card number. Act Blue is doing all the things that someone would do if they're trying to commit credit card fraud or enable credit card fraud.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, that just smells to high heaven.
Yeah, and you would think that it would be something the Department of Justice would want to investigate, or the FBI. I mean, the FBI is busy tracking down people from 4 years ago at January 6th, but it seems like they can't be bothered to look into potentially the biggest money laundering scheme in the United States history, and because it's being run by the Democrats, it's all been politicized.
Wow, that is outrageous. Now, you mentioned Jason Meares, our attorney general here in our beloved Commonwealth, is all over this, and we do have it, as you say, in other states, right? There are other states with AGs that are stepping up to the plate.
Yes, all conservative-led states. They most of them are getting their AGs on board to investigate this and see what's going on and get to the bottom of it. Because it's financial crimes, and anytime there's financial crimes, that's much bigger. It's a much bigger crime problem.
Yep.
So, I mean, especially if it's organized, you got money laundering, it could lead into racketeering, all kinds of nice little crimes that the Democrats in Act Blue could be committing or conspiring to commit.
Mm.
So hopefully something comes of it, because it's definitely a lot of irregularities.
Yep.
And it seems like the Democrats are in Act Blue. I mean, you would think that they are using credit cards. You would think that they would want to make their platform 100% safe. But
right.
They've done everything they can do to enable credit card fraud. If you try to order something from Walmart online, you have to provide your credit card number, the security code, and
yes.
your address. It all has to match up.
That's
and
right.
Act Blue removed all of those barricades when the story broke. They're basically saying, well, if you steal a credit card, come on to Act Blue and donate to some Democrats. We're not going to check your credit card address. We're not going to check the security code. We don't care. So steal someone's credit card and come on and make a donation to Kamala Harris.
You know, it is so outrageous. And let me remind everybody, Mike Dickinson is joining us. Mike is a very, very proud citizen journalist, citizen reporter, does great, great work. He's the guy that broke this whole Act Blue story with some woman in the city of Richmond who allegedly made more than $800,000 in donations to Democrats. And Mike continues to do this great work. It's just amazing stuff. I wanted to ask you, Mike, about our friends, LeVar Stoney, as you know, the mayor of the city of Richmond, who has, so far as I can tell, accomplished exactly nothing, and also has a little problem down there at City Hall with credit cards going sideways. We maybe should do some of the cross-checking to see if the City Hall credit cards are making donations to Act Blue. But he wants to be lieutenant governor, and now, what's her name, Ghazala Hashmi, she is going to run for the Democrat nomination for lieutenant governor as well.
They're all coming out. And today, LeVar Stoney cut a ridiculous promo press media event, press conference, profanity-laced, by the way, in which he said he is sick and tired of people calling Richmond City a joke. He is sick and tired of people considering the way that Richmond City is ran a joke. And so that's funny, but it's also the fact of the matter is LeVar Stoney has made that. I mean,
yeah.
the latest two things that LeVar Stoney's administration has done that are ridiculous, that make it a joke. So you've heard all these stories about these restaurants in Richmond that have gotten all of these old tax bills and all of these outrageous tax bills with late fees, and
yep.
you can't get a hold of anybody. So in settling these tax bills with these restaurants, the city of Richmond is trying to make the restaurant owners sign an NDA that they will not bash the city of Richmond in the media or in public.
Wait a minute. I thought Democrats didn't like NDAs, right? Didn't they?
Exactly.
Wasn't that the whole problem with Stormy McBooby or whatever the hell her name was, right? That was the
you
whole problem.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so, but apparently Stoney doesn't want anybody out there talking negatively about the city of Richmond and their inability to keep track of taxes and get somebody on the phone when you call. Because I guarantee you, and I guarantee everybody that's listening, if you call the city of Richmond with a problem right now,
mm-hmm.
you won't be able to get anybody on the phone, and then you won't be able to get anybody on the phone who can actually help you.
Yep.
Unless you're willing to sit on the phone for 5 or 6 hours. There's nobody there, and they don't answer, and they don't care.
Well, Mike.
And then.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't mean to cut you off, but let me just say this. If people were not saying negative things about how the city of Richmond was being run, they would have nothing to say at all.
Exactly. I mean, they're telling the truth. The city of Richmond is poorly ran. That's, you know, LeVar Stoney, Tim Kaine. The Democrats have ran the city of Richmond for 50 years.
Yep.
So if you've got problems, if you think the city of Richmond is run poorly, blame the operator. It's LeVar Stoney, Tim Kaine, Dwight yep. Jones, all of those people, the Democrats, who have ran the city of Richmond into the ground with their,
right.
you know, Looney Tune business practices and inability to hire people to get the job done.
Absolutely.
You know, they've also got this thing where another big story that broke today, kind of under the radar, was we've got a crime problem in the city of Richmond, especially in the young people.
Mm.
So a couple of years ago, the General Assembly started a program where they would send money to localities to create programs to deter youth from committing crime. But they had to be documented programs. that were accountable and had results, and you had to give the information back to the state.
Okay.
So City of Richmond got $1.3 million, and so far the City of Richmond sent $1 million back to the state because they don't have the programs to be able to get the money, which is ridiculous if you think about it. Henrico has 14 problems. 14 youth services programs. Right. Chesterfield has 11 youth service programs. The City of Richmond, with all of their infinite Democrat wisdom on social justice, has 3 youth programs and can't figure out how to spend $1 million to help the kids.
Jeez. Wow. I didn't even know what to say. I, honest to goodness, I just don't even know what to say anymore. It is so outrageous, and I'm so thankful that we've got you, Mike, on a regular basis joining us and letting people know what's really going on, because you're not going to see it, hear it, or read it anywhere else. And, you know, you and I, of course, have a longstanding connection in the world of professional wrestling. And I don't think we had I'm not sure if we had chatted since Kevin Sullivan passed away last week.
Yes, that was very sad. He was a great, great wrestler, great performer, but also with a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff in WWE, especially in WCW, with a lot of his wisdom in creating the storylines and a lot of the characters characters and people you've seen, he had a great hand in crafting.
He really did. Oh, he was a brilliant guy. His dad was his dad was either a Boston cop or a Boston fireman. And Kevin, he was a Boston guy, and he was a legit tough guy. I mean, he really was. He had, golden gloves and the rest of it. But I used to love working house shows with him, Mike, because it meant that I was no longer the shortest guy in the locker room. And he was like a fire plug, you know what I mean? But man, you did not mess with Sullivan, because he could shoot with the best of them if he had to. Mike, I always appreciate you being here, man. Remind everybody where they ought to be following you on social media.
Go follow me on X at MikeD4RVA. X at MikeD4RVA.
I love it. Mike, I appreciate you being here. Hey, next week, can you poke around, see what's going on with that City of Richmond? What was it, the chief administrative officer who kind of exited stage left, I think, with a bunch of money in her pension, right?
Yes, that's what it looked like. It looked like she ran up a big credit card bill, too, on the way out and made a great big mess of some things and then just exited stage left. No problems.
All right. Well, next Wednesday, you make sure you got some more details on that. That is Mike Dickinson. Follow him over on X, MikeD4RVA. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:53, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Can I give you another little piece of the economy? Well, because I think this is the issue. You and I can't afford stuff. That's what's going on. NBC, another collection of Hackorama propagandists there, they have a little feature here, and what it's really all about is Kamalanomics, although you would never know it. Cut number two.
This morning's news broke just as Americans were sipping their first cup.
Breaking news to bring you, and this is big. Starbucks' CEO.
The CEO of Starbucks, Laxman Narasimhan, out as the world's most iconic coffee brand struggles with customers who've said no to higher prices.
It is $8. I'm just saying, I can't do it. I'm tapping out. I can't do it.
Starbucks' new CEO is Brian Nichol, who turned Chipotle around after a devastating E. coli outbreak in 2015, improving quality and using technology to speed up orders, doubling Chipotle's revenue.
And we thought he would be the right leader for this moment.
Thank you. Have a good one.
The new CEO's challenge, luring back Starbucks customers who've been driven away by inflation, long waits, and cheaper coffee at competitors.
I don't like the prices. I think they have gone up a lot. It's a good bit cheaper at the local coffee shop.
The move comes as higher prices have turned many Americans away. KFC, Pizza Hut, and McDonald's, all reporting falling sales, are now offering value meals. While under Nichol, Chipotle grew its revenue in the last quarter.
What are the problems Starbucks has had with consumers? What did consumers want?
Consumers are looking for value, and they want to feel like when they spend money at a premium brand like Starbucks,
It's worth both their money and their time.
$6 for a tall, small drink.
Fed up with inflation, more Americans are simply saying no.
Huh. Well, why don't we talk about what's causing inflation? Why don't we talk about Kamala Harris and what she has done to the economy? Like this is somehow happening in a vacuum. Well, we don't know what happened, but Starbucks all of a sudden decided it was going to be $8 for a cup of their crappy coffee. You know, Starbucks coffee should come in three sizes. Crap, crappier, and crappiest. I hate their coffee. Bitter, just like their baristas. But I digress. I'm a Wawa guy. I like Wawa coffee. I think it's really good. I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I think it's good. I hate everything about Starbucks. But, having said that, if you want to buy Starbucks, then you buy Starbucks. But how come that pseudo-reporter there doesn't bother explaining why it is so expensive? Why didn't that pseudo-reporter explain how inflation originated? Take a look at the White House. Take a look at Kamala Harris. There you go. All right, tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed will be here. He may or may not be drinking Starbucks. I don't think he's really much of a coffee guy. He's got, like, those goofy energy drinks. But whatever. He'll be here 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Please make sure you are listening to him. Enjoy the evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.